The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security. Welcome to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and encourages you to change your core beliefs to make your life better. If you are ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Wamsley.
Welcome to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Wamsley, and as always, we're working on your personal financial freedom. Today, my friends, I'm going to do a little house cleaning. I get about 100 emails a day, and I know this week that I got behind, and so lots of people have questions. I'm just going to see if I can knock some of them out today on the show and get through them. The first one that was sent to me is an article on retirement called Why Even High Earners Are Struggling to Save. And I'm just going to go ahead and read you a short excerpt from it. It says, even though Americans are struggling to save enough for retirement, according to a new survey, the report released Thursday by SunTrust found that even among households with incomes of $75,000 or more, roughly a third live paycheck to paycheck, at least some of the time. And one-fourth of them with incomes of $100,000 or more do the same thing, which is live paycheck to paycheck. According to the Census Bureau data, less than one-third of households across the country earn $75,000 or more a year, though median incomes are higher in some local areas. A third respondent said a lack of financial discipline at least sometimes holds them back from achieving their goals. But older respondents were significantly more likely than the younger cohorts, to say that they were not saving enough for retirement, or were not sure if they were. In some extent, that may reflect the lifestyle's habits more than financial struggles. Respondents cited spending on things like entertainment, clothing, dining out as affecting their ability to save. Okay. Pamela Sandy, CEO and founder of CoFinance, a financial advisory firm, points to other causes as well. Her clients are contending with such things as student loans, cost of child care, and the need to help family members. Do I think people are just out there being frivolous? It's a darn expensive life to live here in this country. Well, friends, think about this. What if I told you they have it all wrong? That they're completely upside down and backwards with the whole entire article and thought process? What if you thought about the fact that financial planners are out there trying to get you to do something that doesn't work, that will never work, and no matter what they tell you, that you can do it over and over and over again and continue to get the same result, which is no effectiveness result at all? We all know that that's the definition of insanity. You continue to do the same thing, get expected a different result. So what's wrong with the thought process of this article and this financial planner and probably every other financial planner you've ever met in your life? The problem with the thought process is it's not that we can't save enough money. It's that we don't make enough money. It's not that we can't save enough to retire. It's that we don't have any passive income streams to allow us to retire. They still have this pile of money on the wall theory of life that somehow you're going to live below your means your entire life and have absolutely no fun and excitement to do nothing in life worth doing. And you're going to save all your money so that someday when you're old, sick, decrepit, almost unable to do anything fun anymore, and I'm speaking about myself, I'm not pointing fingers, I point that finger and I tell you what, 10 of them come back pointing at me. Because I've got that feeling now that I'm getting old, I'm getting decrepit, I can't do the kinds of things I want to do. Even though I try to do physical fitness, even though I try to live a healthy life, it just is your age. So my point is, you really want to live your entire life in a suffrage package of beans and rice, beans and rice, beans and rice? Do you really want to go out there and deliver pizzas as a second job to make enough money to save some money so that someday when you're old, you'll have just enough money to live below broke? Right? Do you really want to do all that just to get to the end to find out you still didn't make it? It doesn't make any sense to me. Because the real problem is not savings. The real problem is you don't make enough money to live the way you want to live. So why don't you change your goal in life? Instead of trying to save more money, why don't you try to earn more money? And since the limitation in all things is time, because we can't buy any more time, we're not getting any more than God lets us have on this earth. Since time is the true limitation, then the only way to earn enough money for you to live the way you want to live is to be able to create passive streams of income. That's what this whole show's about. That's what everything I do is about. That's my whole entire message, is passive streams of income. Income that comes in every month, month after month after month, even though you don't go to work. Now, if you've already got a job and you want to be able to save more, then you need to get out there and earn more by passive streams of income. If you want to retire, then you got to get out there and put together enough passive streams of income to replace your current income or whatever level of income you're willing to live on in retirement. When I retired at 34 years of age, I had a job that paid me about $70,000 a year. And I lived very comfortably on $70,000 a year 25 years ago as a single male. Got married, still didn't have anything. So it was very simple to live on $70,000 a year. But what you have to realize was my take-home pay was only about $40,000 a year. So when I got ready to replace my earned income with passive streams of income, I only had to replace $40,000 a year. And I think that's only like $3,500 a month, $3,200, $3,300 a month. That's nothing if you get out there and get started. So when we look at this and we sit here and we consider this, you have to understand that you're continuing to read articles and listen to talking heads on the radio that are leading you in the wrong direction. You're going down a roadmap that goes to nowhere, that will not get you where you need to be. And the only way you're going to fix that is to change maps. And to change maps, you're going to have to find somebody that's already rich, already has passive streams of income. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to get there. Now, I have a follow-up email that I want to correlate with that. And the email reads, as you know from previous emails, I listen to your radio show on the podcast. I listen while driving or while riding my bike. It seems you have a sixth sense for delivering a message I need at the right time. I just listened to the show on April 15th, Stick Your Hands in My Pocket Day, and I love the way you went through all the people who are looking to get into your pocket. If I would have known about you 8 or 10 years ago, I would have retired and probably be a millionaire by now. This show and another show you did about the Golden Goose have really changed my outlook about me. I now know I'm a producer. I now know people are looking for my stupid zone. I now know my stupid zone. I now know I'm the Golden Goose. I now know to never lose my money. I now know to work towards passive streams of income. And finally, I now know it's the lifestyle, not the money. I have a plan with a map because of you. Right time, right place for me as my new journey has begun. Terry. Thank you very much, Terry. Great email. I want to use it, though, because you're bringing up some very important points. Our problem in society is that we only earn so much with our time. Our job only pays us so much. What we're going to have to do is take some of that money and go invest it and produce passive streams of income. But even that, even our job, even our passive streams of income cannot solve the problem of a canoe with a bunch of holes in it. It's going to fill up with water. It's going to sink because we're letting people at almost every turn stick their hands in our pocket. We're paying too much in taxes, too much for college, too much for X, Y, and Z. We can go down the list. I've done it 1,000 times. And the bottom line is this. As long as you keep letting people stick their hand in your pocket, then even making more money isn't going to get you there. So we need both. We need to create passive streams of income so that we can live off them. And then we've got to get rid of all those people's hands that are trying to take our money away. When we do that, then we've got a solid foundation to retire on. We'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Lifestyles Unlimited is a real estate investor and mentoring group that has been taking people by the hand and teaching them how to invest in real estate for over 24 years. Our students have won local, state, and national awards as Real Estate Investor of the Year 8 of the last 8 years. Personal Real Estate Investor magazine has named us the best education and mentoring group in the United States. Our students own an astounding amount of single-family rental houses and apartment complexes. I'm Lynn Andres, host of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show and an investor in both single-family and multifamily properties. If you're ready to add some real estate to your portfolio, I've got your map. Come to the next workshop to claim your map to financial freedom. Go to getmymapnow.com and register for the next workshop in your area. That's getmymapnow.com.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Our number here is 877-655-6755. I'm going to open up the phone lines nationally. If anybody wants to call in, ask some questions. It's kind of a lazy Friday for us to sit back and clean out some of the emails piling up in my email box. The next question is an interesting one because the lady doesn't really understand what she's asking. And so I had to have a couple different emails with her back and forth just for me to get my arms wrapped around it. But I'm going to paraphrase because her question is so disjointed that I don't think even you would even understand what she's asking. But the question she's bringing up is, okay, hey, look, I would like to be a real estate professional, right? And she's asking me, could she go get hard money loans and do the kind of stuff that we do? Being that I'm a stay-at-home mom, I have good credit but no income. And the answer is no, you cannot do that. You have to have income. And then she goes on and says that she has about $21,000 in savings and $200,000 in 401k. Well, if she's got $200,000 in 401k and she's not working, then that money can come right out of that 401k right now. On the other hand, if that money belongs to her husband who does have a job and who is earning $125,000 a year, then they have no problem. But what she mistakenly thought was that she actually had to buy the real estate into her name for her to be a real estate professional, and that's not the case. A married couple, right, who file their tax returns together, one of them can have a full-time job, and one of them can be the real estate professional in their business. They do not have to buy the property separately. They can buy them together. And the spouse that deals with the properties is the one that would probably qualify to be a real estate professional. According, you have to have at least 700 hours a year of activity, and you log that to follow that, to prove that, unless you're in a situation where you know you have that because that's all you do all day long every day. For example, if you're a full-time real estate agent, you're automatically a real estate professional. Full-time broker, real estate broker, you're automatically. Full-time real estate appraiser, you do it all day long, every day, that's your job, you're automatically. If you are a full-time property manager of your own properties, then you are a real estate professional. If you are a full-time property manager for a real estate company and you don't have a license, then you are not. So you need to realize you are becoming a real estate professional by operating your own properties, et cetera, et cetera. Now, that last statement may or may not be true. I'll have to check on that, whether or not if you were managing other people's properties. What we do that we know it's not a problem is when we manage other properties, we take a partial interest in them. Now, by the way, we does not mean me and doesn't mean Lifestyles Unlimited. It means the people in our group that invest. They generally don't manage properties unless they're also invested, whether it's 100% or some portion thereof, of the ownership of that thing, because they are an owner and they're investing, that it's qualifying them for being a real estate professional if they're the active partner in the deal. So this lady, you know, I wrote her back and I told her, hey, you can do that. You can put the real estate, you can buy the real estate in your and your husband's name, and your husband can qualify for the loans because he's got the income, and you can pull the money out of that 401k, and you can go ahead and start investing and, of course, become a real estate professional. Now, why is it important to be a real estate professional? Because if you're not a real estate professional, then there is a passive loss limitation law that says that you cannot lose more than $25,000 a year of passive losses against your earned income. Now, even that amount, the $25,000, gets reduced to nothing if you earn over $150,000 a year of earned income. Now, one of the things always important to understand is that that still doesn't mean, though, that you don't earn the passive income as tax-free. The rental income that you're earning, if done correctly, will come to you in a tax-free arrangement. What we're talking about is excess passive losses. In other words, you made $50,000 this year in your real estate company, but your K-1 says, or your income statement says, that you lost $10,000, or $20,000, or $25,000. Even though you actually made $50,000, you got paid $50,000, you've got these fake excess losses called passive loss carryovers. So what happens is that you can take these and write them off against your earned income. Now, if you think about every other kind of investment, if you have passive losses in the stock market, you can only write off up to $3,000 a year on those. But with real estate, you can write off up to $25,000 a year. However, if you're a real estate professional, that $25,000 limitation completely goes away, and you can write off as much passive losses as you can create. So if you own a bunch of large apartment complexes, you're producing $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 worth of losses. Remember, these are paper losses, not real losses. These are fake losses. You could take those fake losses and write them off against your earned income. And that, my friend, is a neat thing to do, especially when Uncle Sam comes walking around wanting to take your money. That's a good way to keep him out of your pocket. All right, our number again is 877-655-6755. The next email that I've come to says, hey, Dale, I've been listening to your show for the last few months now. I want to get started. However, I only have $5,000 to start. I'm in Central Florida area. What do you advise to do? Can you give me some steps to get started? I only need about $3,000 a month to retire. I could use a mentor for guidance, but don't know how to find one. Please help me. I'm tired of the corporate world. Well, Joel, here's the reality. With $5,000, you probably don't have enough to get started in what we do. You're going to need to have at least $10,000 to buy your first rental house, probably. Even if you don't use the money for the down payment, they're going to want to see you have at least $10,000 in liquidity before they'll lend you the money to do the deal. So my recommendation is forget about finding a mentor at this point. Just keep listening to the radio show, listen to our podcast, and go save another $5,000. And when that happens, then come back and get with us, and we will mentor you through the process. All right, 877-655-6755. We've got activity on the phone line. We've got Mario from Puerto Rico. Mario, how can I help you today?
Hi, Dale. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to know what type of, in today's market, what type of equity capture should I be wanting to look at in order to further pursue a single-family home?
In our marketplace today, Mario, I'm having people buy houses with very little equity capture. Good cash flow, really good cash flow, because interest rates are so low and rents are so high. But it's a seller's market right now. Now, does that mean we never get equity capture? No. We find them. But it's not like when I have 100 people sitting in my room, Mario, and I'm teaching that day, I say, okay, all 100 of you need to go out there and make sure you get at least $20,000 equity capture, or don't buy because you're leaving money on the table. It's not like that right now. Right now is, hey, get the best deal you can get. $5,000 equity capture would be considered good. $10,000. But here's why. Let's say that we put an average of $20,000 down on every house. That's just an average. $10,000 equity capture is still a 50% return, and that's fabulous. All right, looks like we're going to a break. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Real Estate Show.
Did you know that every dollar you put into a piece of real estate makes you money five ways? Cash flow, that is what we call passive income in your bank account each month. Equity capture, the thousands of dollars you create when you have the right team, the right property, and the right map. Equity buildup, that is when your renters pay off your mortgage each month. Appreciation, real estate doubles in value almost every 20 years. And finally, the tax advantage. We pay almost no taxes on our cash flow each month or on our capital gains. These are five of the reasons that real estate accounts for 70%+ of the millionaires in the world today. Attend one of our free workshops on real estate investing to find out how. Call 866-971-8970 or go to fivewayswemakemoney.com and register for the next available workshop. That's 866-971-8970 or go to fivewayswemakemoney.com.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Our number here is 877-655-6755. Phone lines are working and open. And we are, at this time today, going through emails, cleaning out the email box so that I can have a comfortable weekend by myself. Next email is from Dustin. And Dustin asks, I have one rental and I have about $20,000 saved. I'm thinking about getting a line of credit with my bank. I believe I could get approved for $100,000, then purchase all cash, rehabbing them, getting a mortgage after that on a property to pay the line of credit off, similar to doing a hard money, but cheaper. Is this a good idea? I believe I could purchase more in a short amount of time, but am I missing anything? I promise I'll leave you alone after this. You don't have to do that. Thank you for your help and all that you've done. Taken 2 days, watched every case study available and every video I could find. All right, Dustin, you have missed a couple of very dangerous points here. The idea of going out and borrowing $100,000 on a line of credit and then paying cash to rehab these and then getting a regular mortgage to get the money back to give to your line of credit has some real flaws in that line of thinking. The first flaw is that if you do buy the house all cash with the money from the line of credit and rehab it, when you go to refinance the property, they'll only give you 75% of the purchase price plus rehab, or what they call your all-in value, what you've paid for it. So if you were to go out and borrow $100,000 in your line of credit and it costs you $75,000 to buy the house and $25,000 to rehab the house, the most that you could get a new mortgage on would be $75,000. So you wouldn't have enough to pay your line of credit back, and now you'd be stuck with a line of credit that you owe money on. Secondly, which is maybe even as important, if not more, is that with $100,000 outstanding credit, you may not qualify for the mortgage to put back on the house. Now you've got that money stuck in that house and you can't get it out. That could be very problematic in that situation, and you would not be able to grow. On the other hand, if you would simply use the techniques that I introduced you to at the 2 day, because you said you've been to the 2 day where you use the hard money lenders, they will put up the money to purchase and rehab the house, and you only have to come up with that portion of money above and beyond whatever 75% of after repaired value would be. So in general, and it's not always the case anymore because prices are not discounted that much anymore, but in general, you're going to be able to buy and rehab and have less of your money stuck into each house after you've got that secondary loan. Yes, you have to pay your hard money lender about $3,000, $4,000 to make the thing work, but it may end up saving you $10,000 or $15,000 out of pocket in some situations. So I appreciate the fact that you're trying to figure out how to skin the cat a little bit differently, a little bit cheap, a little less expensive. But sometimes, my friend, it's better to have paid more than you wanted to than to have paid less than you should have. Zig Ziglar has a perfect example of this when he talks about the fact that you could walk along the street and pick up already smoked cigarette butts, and they're at a good price. But do you really want them? Sometimes cheap things are the wrong things in life. And so, again, I recommend you stick with the hard money lenders. 877-655-6755. Phone lines are open if you'd like to get in. The next email says, hey, I have an 8-unit apartment complex that is vacant, and I'm going to do a full rehab. This is a Hispanic neighborhood, and about $500 to $600 a month rent would be it. The question is, do I try to separate all the meters and utilities and have the tenants pay, or just one pay, or do just one bill paid with a master meter? Any insight would be appreciated. All right. The insight is this. To only be able to rent the units for $500 a month to $600 a month is not going to pay for the upgrade cost, to the renovation cost to upgrade to individual meters, especially if the neighborhood such is a Hispanic neighborhood. You're probably better off to just go ahead and keep it on one master bill and then either offer the property as all bills paid, which is the easiest to do for both them and you, or instead charge them rent and then use something called resident utility billing system, where you actually go back and you divide up all the utilities and make the tenant pay. Now, the beautiful thing about doing that is that you take the upside off of your back. In other words, utilities get expensive all the time, then the tenants pay that additional expense. Whereas if you had all bills paid contracts, you would be stuck in those leases and you could not raise those rents until the lease had expired. But with a RUBS system, residential utility billing system, you're going to be able to pass those costs on. Now, the other beautiful thing is, we don't just pass on electricity. We pass on electric, water, gas, pest control, trash collection, just about everything you can think of that's a utility, we're passing it on to the tenant. That way, we're not getting stuck with it. And when the bills go up, of course, their bill goes up, but ours doesn't. So what's the con of that idea? When you're with unsophisticated tenants, if you're in a neighborhood of really uneducated, unsophisticated people, the ability for them to negotiate two bills each month, one a rent payment, which is fixed, and then an additional utilities payment, which is not fixed, where they can't plan for it directly, is very difficult for unsophisticated tenants. I've seen it done both ways. I just think that you got to look at your clientele. If you got people, and they're writing checks to you or money orders you, and you can't even read the handwriting. Actually, this does happen. I had my supervisor show me a money order the other day. He goes, you couldn't even read what it says. And it was like, it's just scribble. And the money order company wouldn't honor the money order because you couldn't read it. So we had to go back to the tenant and get them to fill it out again in legible handwriting. And it was amazing. There was just this massive scribble. And she goes, you know what that says? I said, no, what does that say? She said, that says unit one. Oh, man. So when you're out there in the real world, folks, you're going to run into a lot of crazy stuff. Let's see here. Next email. We got plenty of time here. It says, Dell, I attended the 2-day class this weekend. I'm going to get all my money together and join preferred membership beginning next to start investing. I just need advice on make sure that I don't make mistakes. I currently have $22,000 in cash in the bank and $100,000 in a 401k that I can get at unless I quit. I can't get at unless I quit. I already have a loan on the 401k and I used to buy my new home in December. This is what bought me to Lifestyles in the first place. The second home has been remodeled. I owe $74,000. And I was going to rent it out, but after the class, maybe it's better that I sell it. I'm not sure. The HCAD value of the property, the second house, $147,000, but I believe I could get $180,000 or $190,000 if I sell it. I could refinance this house and rent it. I did receive a good faith estimate from a mortgage company to refi for $190,000, and I would receive $63,000 if that appraisal is good. This house would rent for $1,700 a month, and the house is seven blocks from Galveston Bay. I am ready to make a move. I just don't know which way to go. Can you please advise? If I do sell, do I pay capital gains? Originally paid $98,000 for the house, plus $25,000 in rehab. It has a new roof, new AC, new water heater, new appliances, all hardwood floors, tile. A big lot of house was built in 1997. I went to start in multifamily. I make $148 per year. My job, I'd like to retire in 5 years or less. I also have three lots to sell for $35,000 and plan to list them for sale. My eyes are open. I just need help on the best way to go. Well, my friend, we've only got a minute left here, so I'm just going to give you some brief understanding. If you were to sell, you would have to pay capital gains unless you 1031'd your properties forward. If you did a 1031 and sold the lots and this house, you could take all that money tax-free and buy an apartment complex with it. So what you would want to do with this scenario is to go find the apartment complex first, and then we'll sell the lots in the house and take that money and put it in. We'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Get total freedom in your life safely and quickly. Build wealth and passive income so you never worry about losing your job, working till you drop, or retiring in poverty. Hi, I'm Stephen Davis, and I've taught over 100,000 people in the last 24 years the principles of financial freedom through our radio shows and live one-on-one mentoring at Lifestyles Unlimited. I'm excited to tell you about our real estate workshop that really takes it to a whole new level. It gets you on the inside of what we do and what we believe and unlocks the five ways we make money in real estate. Just like your personal trainer, we will motivate, encourage, and teach you so you can get in the best financial shape of your life. Just go to fivewayswemakemoney.com. That's fivewayswemakemoney.com. To register for the workshop that will change your life and let you stop worrying about losing your job, working till you drop, or retiring in poverty.
Welcome to the last segment of the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Our number here is 877-655-6755. I want to go back to the email that we were discussing before we went to break because there's way more into this email. It's a very, very complex set of questions that have been posed. The first one that I want to take on right now is, okay, we've got a house that's supposedly worth 180 or 190, and he owes 74 on it. So this guy's got at least $105,000 to $115,000 of equity in this thing. Now, he's been told that he could borrow $65,000 out of what he already owes, so 74 plus 65, he's going to have $130,000, $140,000 worth of debt on the house. And when you put $140,000 worth of debt, and let's take a calculator out and do some calculations on this real quick. Got $140,000 times 4.5% interest. His interest payments are $6,300 a year divided by 12. Is $525 just in interest. That doesn't include the principal either. So his payment would be about $600 a month, and it rents for $1,700 a month, plus property taxes and insurance. So let's just take another 3% for property taxes and insurance on top of that $500. Let's say $140,000 house, $140,000, not $1 million. I really increased your value there, buddy. Helped you out. Times another 3.5% for taxes. That's another $4,900 a year. It's another $400 a month. So we're up to $900 and some a month. It'd be about, with insurance, it's going to be about $1,000 a month. He's still making about $700 a month positive cash flow. To me, that seems like the way to go because you're going to get $65,000. Now let's say we sell the thing. If we sell it for $180,000 and we pay 6% in closing costs because we've got to pay realtors to sell it. So now we're net of 180, right? And then we've got to pay taxes. So if we've got 180, $180,000 times 1.92. Let's see. Well, with all closing costs, it's going to be about 8%. So about 92% is going to be your take home. You're going to have $165,000. You're going to pay off the $74,000. And you're walking with $91,000, it looks like. So, no, that wasn't right, was it? I don't think so. $140,000 times 0.92%, that's $128,000 minus $74,000, that's what I did wrong, equals $54,000. So the truth of the matter is, without any tax consequences at all, you're going to be able to refinance that house out, pull out the $65,000, whereas if you sold it, you'd only pull out $55,000. And you'll still have the house, and you'll still have $700 a month of positive cash flow, and you'll still have the appreciation on the house, and you'll still have the write-offs for the house. So to me, I think it's a no-brainer. I think you refi the house, take the money, and run. As for the lots, because it's probably harder to sell lots than it is a house, you may want to go ahead and just sell the lots and pay the taxes on them. However, if you can get somebody to buy all the lots together, then I would definitely, again, try to set up for a 1031 tax-free exchange and get out of paying taxes on that gain also. All right, next email. It says, Del, what an inspiring piece on the past segment. Don't look back, look forward. Negative people tend to regurgitate poor me experiences. We have so much to be happy about when we wake up in the morning and map out a plan to go to do something. Still work in the corporate world, but have enjoyed investing in single family. Many coworkers are whining about pensions that will cease to be funded. Not me. Thanks to you, my wife and I have 8 single family rent houses. Manuel, that's great, man. I love that. That makes me feel good that something is getting out there and somebody's taking advantage of it. You have an interesting point, however, though, and I will share this with you. Someone was telling me the other day about someone who is a manic depressant, and they're bipolar. And what happens is, and this was the doctor explaining this to me about one of the clients, and the doctor says, you know, what happens with them is they get depressed, and they go into a massive depression. And then out of nowhere, the next day or a couple days later, they go bipolar on you, and all of a sudden they're in giant mode of euphoria. And, you know, then they think they're bulletproof and can't make a mistake. Well, when they think they're bulletproof and can't make a mistake, then they go out and do stupid stuff that ruins their life. And then when they ruin their life while they're in bulletproof mode, then that turns them back into depression again. And so they sit in depression until they work their way out of that, and then they become bulletproof again. They go do something stupid. And, you know, I was talking to a doctor, and I said, you know, look, I'm bipolar to some degree. I said, I get really down about stuff because it's just my emotional content. And I'll sit there and I'll get all bummed out and I'll get down. But what happens to me is that when I hit that euphoria mode, when I come back out and I'm, you know, 10 feet tall and bulletproof, the only difference is I have a plan to fix the problem. So I can't always be successful at working towards my goal because I have emotional swings just like everybody else does, maybe even more so. But when I'm on the upswing, the difference between my success and the person that this doctor was talking about was quite simply, they don't have a plan. They don't want a plan. In fact, this person actually made the statement, I don't have a plan and I don't want a plan. I don't want to plan for anything. I just want to live my life as it happens, blah, blah, blah. Well, if you live your life as a life that just happens, then you can't be upset with what life dishes out to you because you understand that if you're not planning for success, you are in turn planning for failure. Because if you don't design your life, then the world will. And the life you end up with probably isn't going to be the life you decided that you wanted when you first woke up as a baby, as a teen, as an adult, or even this morning with your newly found euphoria. No, my friend, that euphoria will be shot down and you will be sent back into another nosedive simply because you have no plan. Well, it's a wonderful Friday. It's incredible outside. I just want to keep you all remembering one thing. We're not doing this for money. We're doing it for a lifestyle. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've ever been taught so that you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us every Monday through Friday. Can't get enough? Visit LifestylesUnlimited.com. Click on the radio tab to listen to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Access past show podcasts and join the conversation. The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.
Ask any of the members or mentors here at Lifestyles Unlimited, the real estate education and mentoring group, and they'll tell you it's not how smart you are or how long and hard you work. It's whether you're on the right map to begin with. Can what you're doing take you to the financial position that you want to be in? I'm Lynn Andres, host of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Visit GetMyMapNow.com to meet some of our members who are on the right map and on the way to reaching their financial goals. Whether you just started thinking about investing in real estate or you consider yourself a seasoned pro, Lifestyles Unlimited provides the support necessary to take you to the next level. We are mentors that offer you guidance on every step of the real estate investing process, from single-family houses to 600-unit apartment complexes. Our members have done it all. They've won multiple Investor of the Year awards 8 of the last 8 years. Call 866-907-2085 or visit GetMyMapNow.com to begin or advance your real estate investing career today.